if it had not been for Jesus on our side, where would we be? Well, I would either be in jail, out on bail, or on my way to hell. That's where I would be. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, who reaches down to old sinners such as I and such as we, and saves us, puts our feet on a firm foundation, establishes our goings, puts a new song in our mouth, even prays to our God, and many shall see it and be converted. Praise the Lord this morning. So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad you're here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not here to mourn a funeral. We're here to celebrate a risen Savior. He got out of that grave. He's alive this morning. And not only Easter time is a good time to talk about the resurrection of Jesus, but any time is good to talk about it. I don't know about you or not, but I need a resurrection in my life each and every day, Brother Harold. I need God to touch me. So good to see you this morning. I want to welcome those who are watching on Facebook. Thank you for watching. Those listening on our webpage, thank you for that. And I want to welcome all of our visitors this morning. If you've come this way to worship with us, thank you for coming. Got a special Sunday this Sunday morning, baby dedication. Miss Amber Sofa and Zach over there and their family and new baby being with us this morning. Looking so forward to that. And, of course, we will do that at the conclusion of the service, just after the invitation to the message. And so it's a special day at Calvary for that. So good to see you guys and have you back with us. We claim you as family. And y'all been coming for a while and had to move to Tennessee. And there could have been worse places to move to. Tennessee's a good place. And we love Tennessee. So we appreciate that. And I do want to mention a few things before we change the service this morning. I would ask if you'd continue to please remember Miss Dolores Palmer in your prayers as she continues to get better. She is getting better, slowly but surely. And she says, thank you for the prayers, her and Brother Leonard. Thank you for that. So let's remember her also. Let's remember our children's home. I believe Brother Brian and most of our children are maybe away preaching. Brian's preaching this morning. And well, it's Labor Day weekend, so a lot of them may be with their own families. But nonetheless, they're not here. Let's remember them as they're gone. Continue to remember Brother Harold as well. He's here this morning. I'm glad he is. Always good to, always glad to have Brother Harold on the front row with me. And going to the doctor on Thursday. We'll remember you. Miss Claudia also has a doctor's appointment this week. Is it Tuesday?
Yes.
Tuesday. Let's remember Miss Claudia. Everyone else on the prayer list, let's remember them. And have some great things coming up on our calendar here at the church. I encourage you to grab a bulletin in the foyer back behind you or up front to my right or your left by the organ. You can pick up a bulletin and stay in tune with everything that's going on. I will say that this coming up Wednesday, we're going to have choir practice. And those who normally attend Bible study will go down and be with Brother Brian in his class, so that we can focus in on preparing for homecoming, which is next Sunday morning at 10:30. So remember that this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, choir practice, Bible study downstairs in Brother Brian's class. This coming up next Sunday morning will be homecoming. And so remember that. No p.m. service, just the morning service, 10:30, no Sunday school. And, of course, a spread of food. So remember that. It'll only be a spread of food if you bring enough for you and your family. And so please sign the sheet over here and bring enough for you and your family. That way we all can have us a good time at the table. Remember that. I do want to mention one more thing, and this will be my part of the announcements, be concluded. Today is the first day of our new church year. And so what I'm asking the church, those who hold positions, those who've been serving faithfully, we're just asking if you'd take another lap with us. And if you'll go again with us, we appreciate you, love you. Thank you so much for teaching and occupying your position. But we're just asking all who have positions would keep going in that position as long as, of course, you feel led to do it. You know, we don't want it being done out of dreading to do it. We want it to be done out of joy. And so we appreciate you being so faithful. All right. Well, it looks like Miss Nancy and Bobby have some grandchildren with them this morning. So I'll make sure I'm going to embarrass them real good. And so good to see you guys. And Miss Natalie here this morning. I guess is the oldest. I remember when you were like this. When your mom and daddy were rocking you in their arms, and time's flying by, isn't it? And so we're all getting older. I said older, I didn't say old. Make sure I want to say that. But anyway, good to have y'all with us this morning. All right, you ready to worship the Lord? Say amen. All right, well, let's pray. We'll toss it back to Brother Allen and see what God has for us. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things from whom all blessings flow. Lord, be with Brother Brian. Be with him as he goes to minister today at another location. I pray for our children, Lord, children's home who are going their separate ways possibly with their families because of Labor Day. Those who are actually here this morning from the children's home, Lord, thank you for them. Miss Piotr and the kids, Lord, we love them. Thank you so much for their services. And Father, we lift up all these requests. We pray that you bless each and every person, every life, every situation. You know who needs what. We just lift them up all to you this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd work in our midst. This is not just another Sunday. This is not just another day on the calendar. This is the day the Lord hath made. And we have come together, not in vain, but we've come together to receive a message from you. We've come together to praise you, Lord. So I pray that you would save the lost and bless the saved is my prayer today. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, if you'll stand with me. Choir, stand with me as well. Would you agree with me, and we've sung this chorus many times over the years, that there's something about the name of Jesus? Amen. Anybody with me? Here's what we're going to do. Here's what I want you to do with me this morning. Together, I just wanted to say his name. Can we just speak his name? Jesus. One more time. Jesus. There's just something about that name. It calms the spirit of a troubled soul. It brings joy to us just to speak his name. But we're going to sing that chorus that says, there's something about that name, the name of Jesus. Think about him as you sing this morning. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. And yes, please remember this week, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Of course, this evening at 4 for choir practice. Wednesday at 7. And then next Sunday morning at 9:30, our regular choir practice time. But service starts at 10:30. No Bible study next Sunday morning. And then you're off for the evening. We're going to have a great time of fellowship. And yes, please bring food. Bring food. It's what we like to do anyway, is eat, right? So please bring enough to eat. We've said for years down through the past years, you bring enough for your family and a few more, and we'll have plenty. Amen. Enough for your family and a few more, and we'll have plenty. We look forward to a great time next week. Brother Snyder will be here with us and be speaking. We don't have a special group coming, but we've got a special choir. We're going to use them next week. We'll have some specials as well. And we look forward to a great, great day in the house of the Lord. It is great to have you with us. And if you are visiting, you are a special guest. Thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. Pray for those that are traveling. It is a holiday weekend. There'll be a lot of folks on the road. So enjoy your time. Do you enjoy the freshness of the air this morning? It was nice and cool. It felt so good out there. And we thank the Lord for that. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service, on the prayer requests that have been given. And just ask the Lord to give us a great day today in his house. CJ, would you take us, Lord, this morning in a word of prayer? I want to give you a special prayer request. Brandon, David and Glenda's son, has been going through a difficult time physically. Would you please remember him in prayer when you pray, Brandon? Thank you.
morning, and I just wanted, it's a very special day, special occasion this morning for baby dedication, and I really want it to be special. Of course, always love our singers singing specials before preaching time, but I asked Lily to sing this particular song because it's been speaking to me the past couple of days. That's just simply, He never gave up. Thank God He's never given up on us. Like the first song we sung, Where Would We Be Without the Lord? Pray for Him. Thank God for the Lord this morning. Maybe someone here that doesn't understand what all this singing to the Lord is about, why we're so thankful, why we're so happy in Jesus. It may be foreign to you. My prayer is somewhere along the way, either through the singing that we've already done, or through the preaching we're about to do, Lord would allow you to see what it's all about. And if you're not here this morning, I pray that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray today will be the day of salvation. And those of us who are saved, I pray that you'll be blessed and encouraged by what we're going to share. And so that's our prayer this morning. I do want to give you one more prayer request. Jeff Hodges will be having surgery in November, and this is to remove a mass on his kidney. And so please remember, Brother Jeff, I believe he went on Thursday to the doctor, or Friday. Doesn't matter, he went last week. And nonetheless, he is getting ready to have surgery soon, so remember him. Make your way, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 6 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the subject this morning. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, that you never gave up on us. Lord, you didn't give up on us before we got saved, and you saved us. And you're not giving up on us now after being saved. I'm thankful that I'm saved by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And Lord, I know others feel the same this morning. I pray, God, that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart this morning as I attempt to preach your book, Lord. There's something that you want to say, and I pray that it be said this morning. We love you today, we thank you, and we praise you for what you have done, what you're going to do, and what you're even doing now that we may not even be aware of. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In just a moment, we're going to read out of Isaiah 6, verse number 1 through 8. But I do want to say that there's a lot of people in life who are inspiring to me. There's a lot of sports players that are inspiring to me. I'll just give you one of those sports players. I'll narrow it down for you. He plays on the Braves. And I'll lean in a bit further. I'll just tell you. It's the one that just made history the other day by hitting 30 home runs and 60 stolen bases in the same year. Nothing more, nothing less. Ronald Acuna Jr. And I'll say he did that on the very day he got married, which was this past week. He got married, caught a plane, went to the ball field, broke a record, hit a grand slam, went home, ate supper, went to bed. What a blessing. Sports players are inspiring to me. There's a lot of actors and actresses that are inspiring to me. A lot of poets, a lot of theologians that are inspiring to me. A lot of book writers that are inspirational to me. I've got friends and family members that inspire me day to day. They don't have to say nothing. They don't have to do nothing. These friends and family members, they're just inspiring. My wife is inspiring to me. With her drive to wear many hats in her life and do all that she does, she inspires me. She motivates me. She encourages me. And the Bible says that if you have found a good wife, you've obtained favor from the Lord. Amen. And I want to say that I got a good wife and much more than that. My daughter inspires me. As a high schooler and going through the ups and downs of high school, all the things that take place in high school, Lila, you inspire me. And I love you both this morning. A lot of you inspire me. Those who've underwent loss family members, those who've had surgeries. Miss Dolores Palmer, I know that's watching. You're inspiring to me. She's been trying to recover from this hernia operation she had weeks ago, possibly getting into months ago now even. And so she's inspiring to me. Leonard, her helpmate's inspiring to me that he would wait upon his wife patiently and see to it that she's fine. A lot of you are inspiring to me this morning because of the hardships and challenges that you have gone through and going through and continuing to go through. But this message isn't about me. This message is about us this morning. It's about us. And I want to preach for a few moments along these lines, if I could. The inspiring Isaiah. The inspiring Isaiah. Now listen, I'm not just going to stand up here this morning and impart knowledge to you. I have a direction I'm going in this message. It's intentional, it's with purpose, it's for you, it's for me. We're not just going to be a talking head this morning and give you some Bible knowledge and go home. No, I have something I want you to catch. And if we can catch what God wants us to catch, then we can be different by the time we live. The inspiring Isaiah. He's inspiring because of what's mentioned in these verses. Notice verse number 1, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, Lay it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. This morning I want to talk about for a few moments, if I could, the inspiring Isaiah. 4 things I'd like to give you about this man named Isaiah. Number 1, in verse number 1, we see Isaiah's burden. Notice with me again in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. You see, Isaiah had this fresh burden upon his heart because of the death of Uzziah. Now, the Bible doesn't say he was burdened, but if you study the relationship, you would conclude it burdened him. In fact, many believe that Uzziah was first cousins with Isaiah. And so the death of Uzziah is what was on the prophet's heart. He was dealing with death. In the year that King Uzziah died. A few things about Uzziah I want to mention. Uzziah was a good king. Uzziah was a successful king. Uzziah was a God-honoring king. Uzziah, he reigned for 52 years, serving Judah. He was a prosperous king. And because of this, Isaiah admired this king, had respect for this king, and perhaps loved this king. But one day, this king died. The one who he loved and admired and relied upon was gone. So now we have Isaiah's burden, the death of Uzziah. His king was gone. I want to ask a question this morning to you and to me. Do we have any King Uzziahs in our life? It may be a person. It may be a place. It may be a thing that we love and admire. Something or someone that you and I rely upon. Do we have any King Uzziahs in our life? The thing that you love that you made king over. The thing that you rely on that is king in your life. Do we have any King Uzziahs in our life? Let me just say this, that sometimes in life our King Uzziahs die. Things like this happen. That person is gone from our life. That thing is gone from our life. That place is gone. Then we are left burdened. You see, sometimes in life, whether we realize it or not, we put kings up on a pedestal in our life, even sometimes they come before Jesus. But sometimes those kings die. And sometimes we're left with burdens because that person, that place, or that thing is removed. And we're burdened. Speaking of burdens, some burdens we can share in life. When our King Uzziahs die, we can share some of those burdens. But other burdens we cannot share. Why can't you share certain burdens, Brother Justin? I'll tell you why. Because those burdens are too personal. Those burdens are too private. Those burdens I have in my life and those burdens you have in your lives, the burdens that you feel like you can't share, you don't share them because you won't get the feedback you're looking to get. We feel like they'll never understand this burden. We feel like that they'll just be a counselor to us if we share them. And we really just need a friend, someone to talk to. Sometimes in life, there are those burdens that we just cannot share. And only God knows about those burdens. So there's burdens this morning that we cannot share. They're too personal. There's burdens this morning that we can share. We share them when the teacher or the preacher says, anybody have any prayer requests? Someone will lift a hand and say, yes, pray for me. I have this burden. But then there's those burdens that you cannot share, nor can ye bear. These burdens are designed to drive you and to drive me to the feet of Jesus. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. Sometimes in life when we have kings lifted up and we're relying upon a person, a place, or a thing, we have all of these things in our life. Sometimes God allows our kings to die. Sometimes He allows the carpet to be removed from underneath our feet and we fall on our back. But this isn't because the Lord hates us. It's because the Lord loves us and He wants us to be dependent totally upon Him. King Uzziah died. Do you have any King Uzziahs in your life? This burden of Isaiah could have led to his demise, his loss, his ruin. If Isaiah said, I just cannot take the weight of this burden anymore. It hurts too bad. No one understands. Isaiah could have said, I'm just out of the ministry altogether. I'm not going to be God's spokesman anymore. My king died. Isaiah could have done that. And if Isaiah would have walked away from church that day and said, what's the use? My king is dead. My king is gone. I relied upon him. He was my everything. I mean, listen, I admired him. I followed him. He's dead and gone. I'm just going to get out of church and do my own thing. If Isaiah would have gotten out of church because his king would have died, we would not have had the book of Isaiah. We would not have had the ministry of Isaiah. We would not have had the inspiration of Isaiah. And Isaiah is inspiring because in spite of his burden, he moved on. Don't let the death of your king, Uzziah's, in your life stop you from living. Don't allow the death of your king, Uzziah's, in your life stop you from going to church and believing and trusting in God. No matter how hard, no matter how painful it may be, listen, when death occurs, it's hard. And sometimes, depending on how close the death is in relation to you, it is nearly impossible to go on. But God wants us in a place where we depend on Him when we're facing impossibilities. And so, do you have any King Uzziah's in your life? Is there a person, a place, or a thing that you love and admire and rely upon? I tell you, just hold it loosely if you do. Hold it loosely if you do. We see Isaiah's burden. Isaiah's burden. Talking about the inspiring Isaiah. Number two in verse one, we see Isaiah's behavior. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. He saw the Lord in his circumstance. He saw the Lord. In reaction and response to King Uzziah dying, he did not neglect where his attention should be. Listen, I know this morning it is much easier preached than lived. I know that. All right? I know that. But it must be preached. And it must be practiced to be lived. But Isaiah's attention should have been, and it was, upon the Lord. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. Not only was I experiencing the death of this king and how it touched my life, I saw something else also along with it. What are you experiencing in your life when there's loss? Is that all you see is the loss? Are you not experiencing something else with the loss? Can I say when we experience loss in life, we are to experience the Lord with that loss as well. We're not to supplement that loss with drugs or alcohol or money, materialism, pride, sex, drug, rock and roll, all, none of that. When there is loss in our life, we are to look to the Lord. He is our helper. As the song said, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Some of you this morning who've experienced loss, the death of a loved one, or even the loss of a job, the loss of health, and you are totally rock bottom. And the Lord just came alongside you and continued to do what He always has done, and that is to just comfort you with kisses of grace, arms of mercy. You could testify of that. That you was at wit's end before. You was at the end of your rope. You were thinking about going back to the world. Listen, I think about that sometimes. I'm not so high and mighty that I can't preach down to myself where you're at as well. We're all on equal grounds. There's times where I think about the world and think about, well, times are hard right now and things are difficult. Maybe I should just go back to the world. You don't think thoughts cross my mind like that? They do cross my mind. Do you think I'm not in this spiritual warfare either? We're all in this thing together. And there's times where I'm sure you think about that and I think about that, but when I get my spiritual calculator and I say, terrible day today as a believer, bad day yesterday as a believer, last week was terrible as a believer, the week before that, the challenges didn't stop as a believer. When I add that up and then I look on, and then I start adding up life as an unbeliever, having fun in my sin, waking up in my own vomit, hangovers, bankrupt, no direction, going to hell. And on my spiritual calculator, I'll start comparing the two. And the conclusion is I hit equal and I say that a bad day now as a Christian is far better than a good day in sin. Let the hard times roll, because the hard times in the life of a believer are only pushing us closer to Jesus. Isaiah's behavior, he saw the Lord. Notice when King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. Sometimes in order to see the Lord work in your life, something has to die. What is it that is blocking your vision of Jesus this morning? It was a stone that was separating Jesus and Lazarus. The stone was rolled away. Lazarus came out of that tomb. It was a stone that was had Jesus. Jesus was dead in the tomb. The stone was separating. The stone was rolled back. Has anybody got any stones that need to be rolled away this morning? I mean, it's something in your life you're relying on, something you're going after. If you don't have it, life's not normal. It may be a friend. It may be a family member. It may be something, a place you go to, but slowly it's dying and slowly it's going to die. And so what's the Lord's message in this for you? Is to just allow Him to have His will, allow Him to have His way when your king dies. He wants you to look to Him. He wants you to roll the stones away. Of course, He ultimately is the one who allows the stones to be rolled away from our life. So what's blocking your view of the King this morning, King Jesus? You say, Brother Justin, nothing is blocking my view. And I praise the Lord with you. Nothing's blocking your view. I praise the Lord with you this morning. If you say, there are no other kings in my life but King Jesus, I praise the Lord along with you. But if we say that nothing is blocking our view of King Jesus, and if we say there's no other kings in our life, then we will be changed and different. We would go on to maturity and we would grow. Notice, if you would, here in chapter 6. I read verse 1 to you already. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. He talks about the seraphims in verse number 2, which had, one had his face covered, one had the feet covered. This was in reverence to the king. Verse 3, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." In verse number 4, we know that the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. But look at verse number 5. Isaiah has this burden, and Isaiah's behavior is that he turned to the Lord while having this burden, but also God put His finger on something. Verse number 5, "Then said I, woe is me." Listen to this. "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And so we see that Isaiah's behavior was that he was going to turn to the Lord with his burden. But when he did, he had an experience with God. God said, the scriptures say, After, of course, Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Look at verse number 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And so we see that Isaiah, his sin was forgiven. He had unclean lips. Anytime you have an encounter with God, God will put his finger on something if there's something to put his finger on. This is what I was going to say a moment ago. I want you to look back with me and notice, if you would, in verse number 5. Then said I, Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So Isaiah said he had unclean lips. He also said he dwells with those with unclean lips. Listen to this. If you hang out with dirty mouths, you're going to have a dirty mouth. Curse words, gossip, and negativity will start coming out of your mouth if you hang out, if you're around people who gripe, complain, and gossip, who have dirty mouths. Isaiah says, I'm in the midst of those people. It's my sin, but I'm around people who are talking bitter and who are complaining and talking nasty and all of the rest of it. He says, they're unclean, I'm unclean. We're just rubbing off on each other. Don't hang around with the naysayers. Someone starts to gossiping in this church. Someone starts to talking about Calvary. You make sure you don't go along with it. You make sure you say, I'm not going to listen to this because this is hogwash. God is working in our church. And if all you could do is complain, maybe you need to go down the road. Look, it's like this. We are either a refreshing Christian or a depressing Christian. That's the long and short of it. Don't you want to be a refreshing Christian? I do. I don't want to be a depressing Christian. And so that's what Isaiah says. And so I go back and I ask the same question. What is blocking your view of King Jesus? Is it a dirty mouth? Is it negative thinking? Is it something else, this or that, in your life? What other king is there? Because if we say there's no other king in our life, we're going to be changed. We're going to be different. We're going to mature. We're going to grow. There's not going to be guile. There's not going to be any malicious intent. There's not going to be any backbiting. There's not going to be any talking. There's not going to be any gossip. There's not going to be any hatred in our life. Now, we won't be perfect, but we'll be in pursuit of being perfect, maturing and growing. That's why when some people tell me, oh, Brother Justin, I'm doing great. You know, I read my Bible and I pray. Then I get word, Pastor, we need to pray for so-and-so. I mean, they are doing some stuff that is not good. They are doing some stuff right now that, I mean, they would go to jail over. Oh, I'm doing perfect. I'm doing great. I read my Bible. I pray, you know, do all these things. If you're doing great and if you're doing perfect, why are you hooked on drugs? If you're doing perfect, if you're doing great, why are you drinking alcohol? Nobody's perfect, but we ought to try to be perfect. Because the perfect one is living on the inside of born-again saved people. And while we cannot never obtain perfection, we will try to go after it all the days of our lives. But somehow, some way, we try to justify our sin and we start doing it habitually and continually, and it is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. I thank God for the boldness He gives me to preach His Word. And half the time I preach His Word with boldness, I feel bad about it afterwards because I don't want to be hard on nobody. But you know what, Brother Harold, I've came to the place where I'm going to stand up and preach God's word. Thus saith the word of God. I'm not a perfect man by no means. I fall, I stumble, I mess up. But as small as I am, like the song says, Jesus, He picks me up. He puts me back on His feet again. And every Sunday, every Wednesday, He gives me grace to stand one more time and tell you, say, hey, don't sin. Sin has consequences. And how do I know that? Because I've sinned. I know the consequences of sin. Stay away from sin. Move toward Jesus. So just know, any hard preaching I do, it's being commanded of God from Him to me, and it's from a heart of love, because I want to see you excel. Isaiah's behavior. Let me move on. Isaiah's beauty. Still in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Isaiah's beauty. He seen the beauty of the Lord. He saw the Lord on His throne, high and lifted up. He saw his train. Not a choo-choo, but like a train on a wedding gown. I've seen some before. The most beautiful wedding gown ever in the world was my wife's. But I've seen some on TV where they're walking around and their trains are, this back part of their dresses, I mean, would reach out the door. And they'd have all the bridesmaids holding that train. They walked in the room, you're like, this is a grand entrance. Look at the beautiful dress. Look at the train. It has diamonds in it, pearls in it, lace and all the rest. Kings wore the kind of robes that had trains. And so Isaiah, he is bearing this burden. And his behavior was that he was looking to the Lord, and when he did, he seen the beauty of the Lord. While bearing his burden, he chose to look at the Lord, and when he did, he saw His beauty. He saw the Lord's position high on His throne. He saw Him sitting upon His throne. Not only did he see His position, but he seen His rank. He was high and lifted up above all else. And of course, the train he talks about, and His train filled the temple. The train He's talking about, again, has to do with a robe, the ones that kings and priests wear. Speaks of His beauty and His splendor. This is the amazing part. Isaiah was in the temple. He didn't run out of church. He didn't give up on God. He was in the temple with his burden. And he was choosing by his behavior to look at the Lord and focus on the Lord. And when he did, he seen His beauty. He seen Him sitting on His throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. His beauty was manifested in the church. It filled the temple where Isaiah was, his earthly temple. He's seen the beauty and the glory and the grandeur of the Lord Jesus. Why is it that half see the beauty and the glory and the splendor of the Lord Jesus on Sundays and the other half doesn't? Either the Lord's here or the Lord's not here. I think it's because half of us on Sundays are come prepared to worship the Lord. We've gone as far as we could go with our burdens. We are hoping and we are anchoring to the thought that God may speak to me today. And the other half just come and go. Mind's already made up what they're going to do. They're just, you know, can't wait to leave and eat. Half see the Lord, half don't see the Lord. Isaiah here, he saw the Lord. His train, God's train, Jesus' train was dangling as it were in a vision from heaven, His throne, and it just filled the temple. What would you do if you walked in here on Sunday and you could barely open that door, barely open that front door, And when you opened it, it was this red velvet thick train of a robe filling this entire place. That would be wild, wouldn't it? Well, that's basically what Isaiah saw. And it wasn't just anybody's train. It wasn't Uzziah's train. He was dead. It wasn't anybody else's train because they weren't high and lifted up enough. They weren't honored like Jesus is honored. The Lord is honored. Was it nobody else's train, but it was the Lord's train. Can I say this morning that King Jesus is high and lifted up. King Jesus is on his throne. And I want to say his train is filling the temple even this morning. It has everything to do with where our focus is and our position in life, whether you sense his beauty or not. It's here. Let me say this in conclusion. We see Isaiah's burden. We see Isaiah's behavior. We see Isaiah's beauty. But then lastly, Isaiah's boldness. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Isaiah's boldness. He was bold after he met with the Lord. God gives boldness to those he meets with. He gives those courage whom come to him with a contrite spirit and a broken heart. Isaiah bore his burden of the loss of King Uzziah, but then quickly moved his attention to the Lord. Isaiah had a clear view of the Lord after the king's death. He seen his beauty. He seen his splendor. He also was convicted when he saw the Lord, but he repented and was forgiven. Now Isaiah boldly and readily declares he is ready and willing to serve the Lord. Here am I, send me. Listen to this, church. Let us not say, you listening? Let us not say, send me, until we have said, here am I. He said, here am I, send me. Let us not say, send me, until we say, here am I. If you say, send me, Lord, without first giving yourself to the Lord, then you're going to desert that plan, whatever it is, or wherever you're going. You're not going to make it. We give ourselves to Jesus first in salvation, and then we give ourselves to Jesus first in service. And we say, here am I, Lord. Whatever you want to do with my life. And so do not say, send me, until you say, here am I. Isaiah said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah was, he was ready to go. Isaiah could have said, listen to this as we prepare a song here. Isaiah could have said, I'm too burdened about King Uzziah dying. And he could have retreated and been defeated, but he didn't. He turned his loss into a win by using the experience for a ministry of speaking God's word to God's people. I ask of you this morning to give your burdens to the Lord. You may have to do it 1,000 times like I do. Give your burden to the Lord. Focus on the Lord. You'll see he'll show you his beauty. He will kiss you with his grace and hug you with his mercy. But then he wants you to use your burden for something. He wants there to be a ministry out of your misery. Isaiah said, I'm not going to sit and sulk. I'm going to get up and go, and I'm going to preach God's word. I'm going to turn my devastation into a blessing to others. Let us turn our struggles into sermons this morning. Let us turn our burdens into blessings this morning for others. The writer said, the psalmist said in the book of Psalms, while passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Valley of Baca was a dry place with no wells of water. And so the psalmist says that, said there in those verses that he was going to start digging because he was so thirsty. And after he would dig and make a well, the rain would fill the pools, the Bible says. And that well would be not only for him to drink from during his dry experiences, but anybody else who came that way could drink from the well that he dug. I think we need to dig some wells this morning that are from our heartache and from our hurts. Let us not waste any trial. Let us not waste any burden, but just say, Lord, I want to dig a well for me to drink, but then for others to drink that come after me. The inspiring Isaiah. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. I pray that something was said that was a help to somebody somewhere. I hope the church was helped here. Those on Facebook, God, do what you would. Even those on the webpage, do what you would, Lord. In this moment of invitation, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray this morning, you come. We're all here for the same reason.